الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جل جلاله said in Surah Al-Hujurat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, if a fasiq, if a person who is evil, who is rebellious, who is not pious, comes to you with a news, verify it, lest you harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful about what you have done. I remind myself and you of one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives, and that is the facility and the ease and the readiness with which we are willing to believe anything negative about another person. And the opposite of that, which is the difficulty with which we believe anything positive. We see this all the time. If somebody is praised before us, we don't like to hear that praise. Illa mashallah, we do not like to hear the praise. You feel jealous, you feel envious. And people do not want to believe that good thing which they heard. They will either express, like, oh, really, is it true? Can it be true? That kind of stuff. Or deny it altogether. But anything negative that you hear about somebody, even though there is no evidence, there is no proof, we are very easily willing to believe that. Not only do we believe it, if somebody says, no, you know, this can't be true. They say, no, but you know, we don't know what he was doing. We'll be watching him all the time. We don't know what he did when nobody was watching. Things like this, where we reinforce the suspicion that is being cast, the aspersions that are being cast on the person. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically warned us against this. And I remind myself and you, this is an absolute curse that we, especially as Muslims, have made ourselves subject to this curse. The willingness to believe negative something about people, and then also spreading that word. We hear something negative without any proof, and then we go around telling people about it, even though we have no proof about whatever we heard. We don't do the same thing about anything positive. Now, two major problems with that. First and foremost is the problem that if you do that, the moment you say anything negative about somebody, or you listen to someone who's talking negative about somebody, then you are guilty of ghibah. You're guilty of backbiting. Which means that almost instantly, the moment you start doing that, then your good deeds are being transferred to that person. Now, why would you want to do that with yourself? But then ghibat is our social life, so we are reluctant to give it up. So first and foremost, big danger, let us not do that. Secondly, this is something which is like a cancer in the ummah. This is something which destroys the trust between people, destroys friendship between people, creates and promotes hatred and envy amongst people. And therefore, it is a negative thing in every conceivable way. But we continue to do that. So I remind myself and you, let us not do that. First and foremost is, it is riba, therefore it destroys your good deeds. Second thing is that the damage that you cause the other person, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fitna, al-fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl. Allah said the fitna is worse than killing somebody. Because if you kill somebody, the person is dead. And obviously, we are not promoting killing anyone. But I'm saying that when somebody is killed, the person is dead, story is over. But with the fitna, with creating, turmoil and any kind of enmity, it's not restricted to one person. It spreads all over the place. So therefore, when we talk about people negatively, you're damaging their reputation. You are assassinating their character. You are casting aspersions on them, on their families, on their community, on all kinds of things. And all of these things are net negative. There is not a single worthwhile thing, a single positive thing about any of this. Yet we do it. Third, final point is that depending on what it is that we have been saying about people, if it relates to the character of a person, a pious person, then we know from the ayat of Surah An-Nur, the punishment that is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on anyone who casts aspersions and who accuses a person in the Surah An-Nur refers to the Asbab al-Nuzul have to do with the false accusation against Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. So a person who accuses a pious Muslim woman of wrongdoing, but by inference it also refers to somebody doing that to a man. If somebody does that, then the punishment in Islam is that the person is lashed 80 times, and then if he survives that lashing, which itself is something of a matter of doubt, that person is branded a liar, and is his witness and his or her witness is not accepted in a court of law for the rest of their lives. So it's a punishment that does not even end with that with the physical punishment. So it's not just that once you've been lashed, the matter is over. It's not over. You are branded a liar, and your witness is not accepted in a court of law for the rest of your life. So you can never be called on witness, which means that your own reputation is gone forever. Now, therefore, it's something to be very, very careful about what you say about people. Now, what constitutes proof in Islam, especially with regard to any kind of accusations of wrongdoing, it requires four eyewitnesses to the actual act that you are talking about. So it's not simply a matter of saying, oh, so-and-so had an affair with this one. What is the meaning of an affair? Was the person actually seen in a physical position of illegal sexual intercourse by not one but by four independent witnesses? Now, the reason why you might say, well, you know, this is almost impossible. I mean, there's no way that this can happen unless a person does that in public. And that's exactly the point of the matter. Islam does not prescribe a punishment as severe as this for something which is casual, for something which in which there can be room for being mistaken in what you saw and so on and so forth. So Islam puts a condition which is so strict and so strong that there's no case or no question of being mistaken in what you have seen. If four independent people saw something happening, then obviously they cannot be wrong. Together they cannot be wrong. And then that is the reason why the punishment for zina and so on and so forth is so severe. So when the punishment is so severe, the onus of proof is on the accuser, not on the accused. And the onus of proof is something which is so severe and so strong, and then it backfires. So if a person makes a statement, casts an aspersion on an innocent person and says that so and so, he or she was having an affair, and they cannot produce four independent witnesses for this affair, then that person who made that accusation is liable to be lashed 80 times. And please try to understand, lashed 80 times is not funny. Not many people can even survive that punishment. You probably, that punishment itself will probably kill you. But if you do survive, then you don't survive, you don't come out of that untouched. You come out of that with the brand of being called a liar, publicly labeled a liar, and then your witness is not accepted in court for the rest of your life. Why would we want to do that? Seriously, I'm saying, because we hear these kinds of things all the time today from various sources, various places, people saying all kinds of loose talk about each other. My brothers and sisters, Ajib, I think Imam Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi said this, or Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, one of the Salaf, he said, it is so difficult for a person even to be sure of his own intention. It is so difficult for a person even to be sure of his own intention in an action, how can anyone feel comfortable talking about the intention of somebody else? Now think about that, you know, our own ikhlas. If I've just finished praying salah, can I say that my salah was completely and totally and purely ikhlas for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the reason why, for example, I hate to do imamat. I do not like imamat because imamat destroys your own salah. May Allah, and I'm talking about myself alone. It's a needless responsibility, because the fard is to pray. The fard is not to lead the salah. And that's why I try to avoid imamat as much as I can, because the moment you're doing imamat, then what happens to you? May Allah protect us, but your thoughts come into your mind of, I'm reciting, people are hearing, and this and that. It destroys your ikhlas, destroys your sincerity, and it's a horrible thing, because at the end of the day, if you don't get the benefit of your own ibadah, then what's the good of that ibadah? So seriously, we have to think about this. The person said, a man cannot even be sure of his own intention. Why does he talk about the intention of somebody else? Another one of the salaf, subhanAllah, may Allah bless our leaders and our elders and the pious predecessors. Another one said that if I see a brother of mine with wine, alcohol dripping from his beard, I will say that somebody threw alcohol on him. Right? He said, if I see him, I mean, imagine, we're not talking about someone coming into, so-and-so was drinking. No. He said, if I personally see the man with alcohol dripping from his beard, I will say that somebody threw alcohol on him. He said, if I hear a man standing on a hill and shouting out, innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. If I hear a man standing on the hill and saying that, verily, I am Allah. I am the one, and I am only one, and worship me. He said, I will say that the person is reciting the ayat of the Quran. He said, even if I hear him saying that, I will not say that he made a claim to divinity, that he made a claim that he was Allah. I said, if I see the man with alcohol dripping from his beard, I will not say that my brother was drinking. I will say somebody threw alcohol on him. Husne zan, having the best belief about your brothers and sisters, this is Islam. Islam is not living in a state of suspicion and suspecting each other, and then talking loose talk about each other and saying, this one may have been doing wrong, that one may have been doing wrong. Just put yourself or your own near and dear ones in that position. How would you like somebody to say whatever you have said? How would you like someone to say that about you? How would you like someone to say that about your wife? How would you like someone to say that about your sister or your daughter? How would you like someone to say that about your father or your brother? If seriously, we ask yourself this question, and if the answer obviously is that if you would not like that, if that would drive you crazy and insane with anger, then how come you do that with somebody else? Seriously, make tawbah, ask Allah to forgive you, and I hope Allah forgives you, because if you land before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this kind of talk in your account, then you are in very, very serious trouble, and nobody can save you on that day except the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, and give up this whole attitude of loose talk. Do not talk. It doesn't matter what someone is doing or not doing is not your responsibility. Keep your mouth shut. If you really are concerned about that person, go sit with that person one-on-one and speak to them personally. Outside that person, no second person must hear anything negative from your tongue, from your mouth, about another person. Go and talk to the person, go and talk to that individual person and say, my brother, my sister, this is what I'm seeing you doing, this is wrong, this is haram, please don't do it. By all means, absolutely do that. But don't talk outside, don't tell anyone else about it, don't go around tom-tomming it all over the place, don't send WhatsApp messages and so on. These things are eternal. Your WhatsApp message, Allah knows, or your email, Allah knows, whatever your intention was, that thing is eternal. That bloody thing doesn't go away anywhere, it stays there and it floats around, and Allah knows where else it goes. And all of that nuhusat and all of that musibat comes into your account. Please make sure that you are protecting your own good deeds. May Allah protect us. What is the level of good deeds we do in the first place? And if you want to squander that, then that's a sign of complete insanity, seriously. And Allah only knows what kind of iman we have if we do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to protect us from all such things, and to save us from ourselves, and save us from our own amal, and not to allow us to do things which will destroy whatever good that we have done in this world. We ask Allah to protect our deeds. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.